Now, this week in Scientific Lives here on Science Bin, we're going to talk about Charles Parsons. And to discuss Charles, I have on the line John Joyce, who's a tour guide based at Birr Castle. And he's going to tell us a little bit about Charles, who's one of another member of a famous family. So welcome to the programme again, John.
Thanks very much, Sean.
So this really was a talented family. We had another Earl on before, so there was something else.
The third Earl is the man who built the telescope, yeah. And his youngest son, was Charles Parsons.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so we're talking about Charles Parsons. Now, what was he most famous for?
Well, I suppose Charles's most greatest achievement was the invention of the turbine engine. Prior to that, the most powerful reciprocating steam engines were only able to do about a limit of 500 revolutions per minute, where virtually overnight with the turbine it jumped to 50,000.
Okay, now this, he was born in the middle of the 19th century and this...
In the 1860s.
Yeah, okay, and the engine then, his engine was invented...
In 1884, he patented the turbine engine.
Okay, so before that, let's say 10 years before his invention, what was the world like in terms of transport and people getting around?
Well, very limited. The trains were just being developed and were covering the whole of the British Isles and throughout the world. And that would have been the main, and steam ships, of course, were coming into vogue. So it was all very early as far as transport was concerned, with power transport. Before that, they depended on the wind and the horses, virtually. And now, suddenly, in the 1840s, 50s and 60s, you had this massive expansion of rail and steam travel.
So it really, it'd be fair to say that his invention changed the world.
Oh, yes. Well, primarily in developing electricity.
Mm.
Because when I mentioned a moment ago, the maximum steam power could do about 500 revolutions because they were very, very complex engines, whereas with the turbine engine, it jumped up to 50,000 in a short time. And that was made the possibility of generating huge amounts of electricity,
mm-hmm.
whereas prior to that, they couldn't do that.
Okay, and generating huge amounts of electricity could be applied in lots of different areas, of course.
Lighting towns.
Yeah.
Powering engines and so on.
Okay. Now, Charles, tell us a little bit about Charles himself and the kind of background he was from.
Well, of course, his father being a very clever man in science and that, they were brought up to use practical things like hammers and chisels, whereas for the landed aristocratic families, they were kind of a class apart. They had servants to do everything. But here in Birr, the Parsons family were thought to make things in the forge and so on, so they used their hands and to do practical things, which was an extraordinary, really, situation for an aristocratic family.
Sure, it would have been quite easily just to go through life doing nothing very much at all.
Servants do everything for you, because they had the money.
Yeah. Yeah, but they really were very, very good technically as a family.
Well, yes, and unusually for an aristocratic family, again, the boys, when they went to college, Trinity College initially, they studied engineering, which was very unusual for the time, because normally in the aristocrats, they would go for the army, the church, or the law.
Okay, and Trinity College, of course, was the logical port of call in those days.
And of course, Trinity had an engineering school in the 1860s.
Okay, that was unusual, was it, at that time to have
the most advanced? They were far more advanced than most colleges in Great Britain.
Okay, now we were a part of the British Empire then, of course, but Ireland was. The United Kingdom, but Ireland was compared favourably to Britain.
Oh, very much
in terms of engineering and science.
So. The higher education in Ireland tended to focus on engineering and things like that rather than the arts.
Okay. Now, maybe you could just tell us in scientific terms, after he left Trinity, I mean, what happened in the lead up to this magnificent invention?
Well, following graduating from both Trinity and Cambridge College, he was apprenticed to Armstrong's, which were a great engineering firm in the industrial north of England. At that time, mainly making munitions and things like that. But Charles, in the 1870s, was working on torpedoes driven by compressed air.
Wow, yeah. So that's really something very advanced.
He then in the 1880s went out on his own when he developed this turbine.
Okay, so he was on his own working as a kind of an inventor of various things?
Well, only after he patented the turbine engine. Prior to that, he was a part of the Armstrong network.
Okay, now did it change his own life, this invention?
Well, of course it did. It made him immensely wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And he set up his engineering works in Newcastle-on-Tyne, and virtually the whole city of Newcastle-on-Tyne in the north of England grew around his engineering works.
And following on from the invention, I mean, what other things did he get involved
in?
Well,
the practical thing that he put the engine to use was in his own yacht. He had a steam yacht called the Turbinia.
Mm.
And it was in order to get the Admiralty interested in turbine-powered ships and so on at Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee in 1897 at Spithead. He came out among the anchored fleet. The Royal Navy, which was then the largest fleet in the world, was at anchor while the old Queen viewed them. And out among the anchored fleet came Charles, travelling at an incredible speed of 37 knots.
Okay.
Which immensely impressed the Admiralty.
Made a huge impact at the time.
Yes, and then shortly afterwards they ordered the Dreadnought, which was the first turbine-powered battleship.
Okay. Would you now, the British do claim him, of course, as one of their own, but he is an Irishman.
Well, he's British, I suppose. Yeah. British, I suppose. But they would consider themselves in those days.
He has to be up there as one of our most influential scientists.
Oh, by all means, yes.
Would you put him at the top? You're a scientist yourself.
Yes. Well, there are a number of other Irish engineers, which are quite, Lord Kelvin, for example.
Yeah.
And many others. But yes, he'd be one of the greatest.
Thanks very much, John,
not
for
at all,
talking
John,
to us.
You're very welcome.
Okay, that's John Joyce, based at Burghcastle, and he's talking to us about Charles Parsons. Now.